John chapter 4, verse 1. I've been in John and Timothy a lot this week between the Sunday school lesson and the message and the communion meditation. Wonderful passage. But we're going to camp on one verse in particular in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Depending on your translation, depends on some of the word choice. I'll just read you from the NIV. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And then he goes on, and there's some wonderful teaching we talked about in Sunday school about how to know a false teacher and some tests and so forth. But for the purpose of this morning's message, we've been on this four-part series. This is the third installment now about how can we hear God? What are the ways God speaks to us? How can we listen to His voice? What's our part, our responsibility into it? Because He is talking to all of us all the time. He wants us to communicate, to have a close personal relationship with Him. And our talking, listening to Him, as well as talking to Him, is very important in that. So, you remember from last week's message, we were talking about the different ways that God speaks through us, through teachers and through other believers and through His Word and the Holy Spirit, through impressions. And what we said is, you know, what's important about God giving us impressions is we have to test them. And the importance of that is that there's many different things. Sometimes I confuse my desires, my will, with what I may think God is speaking to me. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's easy to do. Our adversary, Satan, Scripture said, speaks into us, and he may be putting thoughts in my heart and mind, and I certainly want to test those impressions. It may be something I've watched on TV or read that's giving me a thought or impression, and I need to make sure, you know, if it's, am I going to eat Kix or Cheerios for breakfast this morning, that's not a big deal. But if it's, who am I going to marry, or a major career decision, or a move, or some major life decision, you want to hear from God. You want to be able to know that God is speaking into that situation when you have sought His counsel. So how do we test those impressions? That's what John is speaking about. Don't always believe everything you hear just because somebody says it's a message from God. Test it first to see if it really is. That's another translation. So the Bible is saying you and I have to learn to distinguish God's voice, but even more importantly, as we focus in on it this morning, let's look at seven ways to know if it really is God speaking to us. And as we go through these seven, folks, these seven are interdependent, they're intertwined. They become a filter, if you will, that you can push these impressions through. And I can tell you, if they do not meet all of these seven, you can know absolutely that what you are hearing, this impression that you're having, is not from God. So get your outlines, keep it open there to 1 John, if you will. We'll jump around a little, but first, and most important, does it agree with the Bible, with God's Word? If I'm having an impression, if I believe God is speaking to me, and I believe this is what He's saying, number one, Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In other words, God will never contradict anything in His book. He never violates His Word, His Scripture that He's given before. And if you have an impression, something you believe God is speaking into a situation in your life, you better first and foremost make sure that His Word doesn't say one thing and you believe God is now saying something else to you as far as an action to take or a move to make or a decision or whatever it might be. Let me give you an example. The Bible very clearly says, pay your taxes, submit to civil authorities, so forth, things like that. So if you're getting this impression, you know, you're praying to God, God, I think maybe like the last couple years, I won't file my taxes because I just believe God is speaking to me. You know what? The government's too big and they spend too much money and there's too much waste. They won't use my money wisely anyway. And I just believe God is affirming, confirming, speaking into this decision I'm making. Do you think that's coming from God? I don't think so. It violates His Word. So the first step is to check it out. Check out what God's word. Second, does it make me more like Christ? Philippians 2:5. In your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. So if I'm getting an impression, if I believe God is speaking to me, I'm seeking His guidance, His will about a certain decision or direction I'm going to make, the first thing I need to do is very clearly first check out His word, check out the Bible in this. But the other thing is God wants us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. So if I'm testing this impression, will it make my character have more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more long-suffering, more gentleness, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit, if you will, of the life of Jesus Christ? He is the perfect model. That's why God gave Him to us. And anything He speaks to us will not contradict or go against the life that Christ lived and us from reaching that goal of being more and more conformed to Christ's likeness. Practical application, James 3. If you harbor envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom doesn't come from heaven. In other words, if you're testing an impression, and it will not come from God if it is a decision or an action you're going to take that causes envy or bitterness or promotes selfish ambition. God's word says, the wisdom that comes from God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere. In other words, God's wisdom is not selfish ambition. If He's speaking to me and I'm testing that impression, He's not going to tell me something to promote myself, to get along better, to have instant fame, instant wealth, instant comfort, whatever the situation might be. God will not give me ideas for self-promotion, self-serving, ambitious, selfish goals. It is not all about me. If I'm hearing something that's all about me, it is not from God. So His wisdom is peace-loving. God promotes, communicates to you ideas that will promote harmony rather than conflict. If you're thinking or doing something and you believe God has spoken into it and it promotes conflict, folks, I can tell you it is probably not from God. You have to think, what would this idea, this action, this decision do to other people? Would it hurt them or harm them? Would it build them up or would it tear them down? Would it encourage them or would it discourage them? And then you have to know that God, if you're testing that impression, is always going to fall on the one side and not the other. God's word is considerate, if you allow me to use that term. It's considerate of how other people think and their feelings and so forth. And so when a lot of people say, you know what, God told me to do this, and they just bowl right over you and come into a situation or try to speak in your life because God told them to do that. Well, guess what? God probably didn't tell them to do something like that because the Bible says God's word is considerate. So it's submissive. If you're really hearing from God, it is not going to be a situation or a decision that's going to involve you being arrogant or bragging about it. You know, some people think they've heard from God and then they go off on this behavior and it shows that really it's going down a track of self-righteous, egotistical, putting everybody else down. And if that's the result of what you believe God is speaking to you and you're testing that impression, then you can pretty well use that test that is not from God. That is not making me more like Christ, and that's one of the tests. So you ask this question, what would Jesus do? I know it's an old saw, but it's still a good question. Does it square up with the Bible, first? Does it make me more like Christ, second? Good test for an impression, and then look at your outline for number three, the third test. When I'm trying to figure out whether I'm really hearing from God, whether He's speaking into it, this decision, this action, and I want to test that impression, and this is an important one for each and every one of us because it involves all of you. Number three, does my church family confirm it? When you became a believer, you not only became a follower of Jesus Christ, but you got a new relationship to other people, other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, an interdependent relationship. You are joined together as the body of Christ. You become a member of the family of God. We call it the church. God never meant for you to make a major decision in your life, to struggle with what you should or shouldn't do. He wants you to get help. He wants you to get advice. He wants other mature believers who love you and only have your best interest at heart to be able to speak into, if you so choose, if you seek their advice, people who are grounded in the faith. That's why Scripture says smart people get advice, fools don't in Proverbs. Fools know the right thing to do. They act on it based on their thoughts, their own intuition. They never check it out with anybody else, any other mature Christians. So again, the third test, the third question, does my church family confirm it? I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about going this direction. This is a major decision in my life, and I need to seek the advice from people that I know and know who know me and love me, and they're grounded in the faith. Ephesians 3:10. God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Now, that's not only true about being a beacon, forthtelling of the gospel message, the manifold wisdom of God, but if God also has genuinely spoke to you about something that you're trying to get a handle on, He will confirm it through other believers. And the biggest reason oftentimes that you and I as Christians mess up is we try to live our lives without accountability to anybody else, without allowing anybody else to speak into our lives, without the support, the confirmation, the counsel, the guidance of other brothers and sisters in Christ into our life, our thinking, our decisions. That's why Scripture again says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So if you're living the Lone Ranger approach to Christianity, where Jesus, it's just me and you, Lord, and that's all I need, we will fall flat on our face when it comes to not testing an impression, because Scripture says this is the way that God works. He wants to provide checks. He wants to provide counsel. He wants to provide other opinions and thinking. He wants to provide the correction of mature believers, of Christian leaders, of pastors, of other people in the church. And so he says, when in doubt, check it out. It's a test of an impression from God. And it will keep you and I from making so many unnecessary mistakes in our lives. So we check it out. Another reason we don't like to check out with other believers is we don't like to be told we're wrong. I mean, how many times do we keep asking people for their advice until we find the one person that gives us the advice that agrees with our opinion? And so if you've really heard from God, it doesn't matter who you speak to, but get a wise counsel of more than one, other believers will affirm or confirm. Proverbs 11:9, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Save money, save time. Save reputation, save marriages. In other words, you ask mature believers to evaluate your impression that you believe you're getting from God, and you know that people will love you enough and you trust them enough that they will level with you. The Bible says God speaks through His Word. The Bible says it will make us more like Jesus Christ if it's from God. The Bible also says that the church, the body of Christ, the family of believers, will also speak into it if you seek their advice, and you can check it out, whether it's a small group or a Sunday school class or just friends that you have within the church, whatever it might be. Look at number four. Fourth way to test an impression. Is it consistent with how God has shaped me? Ephesians 2:10. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were born, God created you perfectly the way He wanted you. He planned you. He created your life for a purpose. He wants you to accomplish that purpose. You're not here by accident. You're here for a reason, a divine reason that God was involved in. He specifically created you differently than other people, gave you a different shape, you know, heart, abilities, talents, and so forth, experiences. And so this divine design that he created you in reveals a purpose, if you will. And so he's given you spiritual gifts and experiences, both vocationally and in life and all these different things. And he says, I have done that. I have created you in this particular way, unlike other people. And so when I get an impression from God and I want to see, is this truly from God or not, I would ask, is it consistent with the way that God has shaped me? Is it consistent with the giftedness, with the abilities that he has given me? If God speaks to me tonight and says, Mark, I want you to resign from the ministry and I want you to become a fifth grade math teacher, I would know that was not from God because I am terrible and hate math. Always did. So would that complement my shape, my giftedness, my abilities, my likes? No. I could say, I could test that impression and say, the reason we have Romans 12:6, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So God's voice will not contradict how God has shaped you. If you're testing an impression and he's saying, I want you to go this direction or do this, it will align with how he uniquely created you. Look at number five, the fifth test. Does it concern my responsibility? If it's not my responsibility, why in the world would God talk to me, give me an impression of something to do? And there's a beautiful example of this in John 21. Jesus is talking to Peter. You remember the passage as I go through it. He's talking to Peter and he's saying, Peter, this is the kind of death that you're going to die. At the end of your life, this will be the experience that you go through. And Peter, of course, you know Peter, he turns around, he looks at John, and he says, what about this guy? And what does Jesus say? None of your business. It's not your responsibility. Don't worry about John. Peter, you only have to worry about what's going to go on in your life. I don't have to worry about God's will for your life. Many times I can barely figure out what God's will is for my own life. I have to question my own motives most of the time, much less try to figure out your motives. And so the important test here, is it my responsibility? When you listen for God to speak to you, you need to listen to God to speak to you. You need to say, what is God's will for me? Romans 14. We will all be judged one day, not by each other's standards or even by our own, but by the judgment of God. It is to God alone that we shall have to answer for our actions. So when you listen for God's voice, listen for his voice for your life, not for somebody else's life. And you need to always be very careful. I've had this, I've seen this over and over and over. Somebody comes to you, and you need to be very careful when a fellow believer comes to you and says, you know what? God told me to talk to you about this. God told me to bring this to your attention. God told me something that you should do. God told me something that you should stop doing. It's very dangerous. A lot of very well-meaning Christians that are very presumptuous have caused enormous amounts of damage in the name of God because they go to talk to somebody about something that they believe God has called them to do. You know, for instance, God has told me that you're going to get well. God has told me that you should invest all your money with me. These types of things. God told me your secret sin. Why would God tell me your secret sin? You know your secret sin. God knows your secret sin. It's none of my business. It's not my responsibility. And yet I have seen this over and over and over. God told me that you need to, and then fill in the blank. Be very careful about that. You and I have enough trouble handling our own sins typically, much less worrying about anybody else's. Does God ever speak to you about other people? Yeah, I'm not saying that he can't or he won't, but here's some qualifications. If God speaks to you or I about someone else, typically, here's the guidelines. God will use you to confirm or affirm what he's already told them. And so, it's very unlikely God's going to tell me first something that he wants you to know that he hasn't already told you. Why would he do that? Why would I presume that? God will use me, perhaps, to confirm, affirm something that he's already told you. Second one, if God speaks to you or I to help somebody else, he'll usually do it without you or I even knowing it. So in other words, there's no chance for my ego or pride to get involved. And I've seen this happen over and over, and I know it does happen. You will go, and you will speak to somebody. God just seems to give you the words to speak into somebody's life, and you have no idea of how much it's encouraged them and built them up and lifted them up. In other words, you walk away and you have no idea that what you just said to build someone up was so much more encouraging and uplifting than you could have possibly imagined, and you didn't even know God used you that way. God will work that way. And the third way, trust God to speak to that person before he speaks to you. That's the whole point of this series. God is talking to us continuously, and he will talk to each and every one of us, and it will be unusual, more than not, that he has to talk to somebody else to get a message through to another individual. Look at the sixth test. Number six, testing an impression. Is it convicting rather than condemning? Now, folks, please get this one, because this is so common. Conviction is from God. Condemnation is from Satan. Don't miss that. Test of an impression. Conviction is from God. I believe that God is speaking to me in this way, and I'm testing this impression, and you know what? I really feel convicted by his word and how I just applied it in my life. Conviction is from God. Condemnation is from Satan. You know what? I feel I'm getting this impression from God, and I'm testing it, and what I'm hearing is, Mark, you're worthless. You have failed and fallen short so much in your life. I could never use a Christian like you. Just quit and give up. You think God would say that to you? No. When God speaks to you, he's very specific. He's addressing a particular issue. You will know and understand through his Holy Spirit and his word what he is convicting you about. But when it is our adversary, it is very general, it is very foggy, the result is guilt. When it's God, the result will be repentance and restoration and reconciliation and forgiveness. When it is our adversary speaking to you, it will be despair and discouragement. And he knows that God cannot use you in that way. That's why he's called the father of lies. That's why he stands before the Father continuously saying lies about each and every one of you in the heavenlies. That's why Jesus is our advocate saying, no, Father, that is not the case. I know him and her and him and her, and this is the case. Conviction is from God. Condemnation is from our adversary. A great test of an impression, because so often we get those mixed up. Conviction comes from God, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to him, God can be depended upon to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. Guilt is how our adversary deals. Should you ever feel guilty as a Christian? Well, yeah, for about a nanosecond. And when you go to God and you're convicted and you repent of that sin and you receive the forgiveness that God provided for you through Jesus Christ on the cross, then there is no reason to go on with guilt. Are you struggling with guilt? Guess who that's coming from? and it's not God. Finally, look at the seventh test of an impression. Look at number seven. Do I sense God's peace about it? 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused about something, and I talk to believers all the time about this, I just can't get a grasp on this, and it seems like the direction what God is saying to me is even making the matter worse. I'm even more confused. I'm more perplexed. I'm more stressed. I'm more pressured. I feel more overwhelmed about this decision or this direction. I just feel like I just need to make a hasty decision, a real quick pull the trigger on this. And that is not the way God works. There is not, I challenge you to go through the entire scripture, there is not one example in God's word where God says to somebody, rush, make a decision now. Come to grips with this. Not one example. The Bible says God is patient. God would rather you take the time to make the right decision, not the wrong decision, not a quick decision. Colossians 3:1, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So to test this impression, if God is speaking to you and you believe you're hearing that this idea is from God, it will bring peace in your heart. You will not feel a bum's rush about it. You will not feel confusion about it. God's Spirit produces a calm spirit. And so if God is speaking to you and you're testing that impression, worry, anxiety will not be the result of what He's saying to you. There is nothing more vital in your life than to hear from God. He's communicating to each and every one of us on a regular basis. And He says, I've created you, I've wired you up in a particular way for a particular purpose. And if you're not hearing from me, then you're going to miss that purpose. And He says, there's going to be all kinds of major decisions and directions and choices that you're going to face in your life. And if you're out there making those decisions without taking the time, without seeking God's will, if you're doing all those things and you say, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to marry? Which job opportunity do you want me to take? Should I make this move to another part of the country or not? Whatever it might be. And if you're not checking it with God's word, if you're not seeing if it'll make you more like Christ, if you're not affirming, confirming it with other believers, if you're not doing these seven steps, you will set yourself up for failures in your family life, your marriage, and raising your kids, and your finances, and your job, every other area in your life, because God says, you know what? It makes sense to listen to me as your creator. And the secret to hearing your creator talk to you is to get to know Him better and better every day. The more you understand Him, the better you know Him, the easier it is to hear that still small voice. He wants to talk to you, and He says, just get to know me better every day. And when you do believe I'm speaking to you, make sure, as my word says, that you test that impression. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You're still involved in the affairs of men today, that You are aware of each and every one of our lives here this morning, simultaneously, of those around the world, and that You can intervene according to Your will, Father, and that whatever decision, whatever direction, whatever it is that we're facing, that You want to speak into that because You love us, because You don't want to miss us to miss the purpose You created us. And thank You that through Your word, You've given us ways to test those impressions that we get. And it may be that our hearts have grown cold. It may be that our ears have gotten stopped up. Whatever it might be on our end, we know that You are still speaking to us, Lord. And Father, I just ask that You would forgive us for where we fall short. We thank You that You forgive us for our sins, that they do not come between You and us. things that we know are wrong or decisions or directions that we may go without seeking your guidance or testing those impressions, we ask that we would do better through your Holy Spirit's guidance, wisdom, and power. In Jesus' name.